segment.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on MyTalk 107.1. Streaming live and doing everything Friday style at MyTalk107.1.com and on our app, of course. Go download our app. I'm Bradley Trainer. That's Holly Roberts. 651-641-1071. We're going to open the phone lines because we have a question for you. And the question goes a little something like this. Are you celebrating your birthday differently this year? Are you? 651-641-1071. And I ask that question. Holly, you may be asking, why am I asking?
Why is Bradley asking about birthdays?
Thanks for asking why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Well, to answer your question of why I'm asking because I was reading through, I just happened to be looking at one of them statistical things. I think it's called a survey. And actually, I was looking at a chart. And the question was, or I should say the data that I saw said 70% of people are planning to do a birthday party this year. And I was like, wow, that is a lot of people as compared to, say, last year, when very, very few of us actually did any sort of celebratory gatherings.
Yeah, we weren't really doing birthdays March forward.
Not in person.
Not in person.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. What did you guys do for your birthdays last year? By the way, 651-641-1071. Grant, I'll ask you that first in case somebody gets on the horn.
Yeah, no, I just at home, Lily, we didn't do anything. We stayed home and she made my favorite thing, which is really sad and childish, but peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, cut them up into fours, a little milk, some chips. It was a good night. Good
what,
time.
Can I ask what month of the year your birthday falls in?
October 16th is okay. My actual birthday.
All right.
So, yeah.
So a nice little night home. Holly, what did you do for your birthday last year? If you don't mind sharing, I am putting you on the spot.
I ordered a cheeseburger and I watched The Honeymooners.
Ooh, God, that sounds delicious. The cheeseburger, so, not The Honeymooners.
Oh, it was actually really interesting. But no, I did not party birthday style. And Bradley, you were here on your birthday last year.
I was, yep. And I had I have an April birthday. Actually, it's next Friday. Thank you. Feel free to send gifts. 30. What's our street address?
3415 University Avenue.
No.
Here with Bradley Trainer.
Yes. Thank you. Last year, we were right in the beginning. And so I remember thinking like, wow, okay, we're doing this different. I had a surprise party actually last year. So it turned out I was on a Zoom call with friends because you know how we were doing that on a regular basis. And my friends, we were all on a Zoom call together and just chatting. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye behind me, I could see my partner walking into the room with a candle on a piece of cake. And then my friends broke out into happy birthday and they pulled out a piece of cake, too. Aww. That they had all had waiting and ready to go. Wasn't that amazing?
That was amazing.
That's adorable. It was really sweet. Yeah. Anyway, so that was the birthday I had last year, and I have no clue. I think we're just going to do takeout this year and then, watch a movie.
And then, have the stripper come out of the cake.
We've got lots.
Socially distanced.
Yes. God, anyway, okay. Oh, the birthdays that could have been. Grant, who do we have on the phone? And let's get right to them.
We've got Mary with us.
Okay, Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
What are you doing
I'm your sister in South Carolina. And a week ago, I got the call from my daughter saying, I'm sorry, Mom, you're going to have to come to Minnesota in November for your birthday because I'm due to have your first grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. Won't that be fun? Cold, but fun.
Yes.
So
well,
that's my plan.
And, Mary, I am very happy that you're going to be coming to Minnesota. You never know. There could be a warm front
that's
while
true.
You're here.
True.
It could be like,
I know. I love you guys, and I still listen to you every day down here.
Thank you very much for doing so. All right, Grant, who else do we have on the phone?
We have Gail with us.
Gail is on the phone. And Gail, are you celebrating your birthday any differently this year?
Well, not my birthday. And I wanted to call, like Mary, my younger daughter, almost a year ago, had my first grandson.
Oh, congrats.
My grandchild. But, and he's going to be a year old, April 24th. But I would love to throw a huge bash for my little grandson,
well,
but they live in Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's a little hard.
And so it's going to be a Zoom birthday.
Well, and you know, we're used to those now, and I bet it won't be very long before you'll be able to celebrate a birthday in person again. At least we hope so, right?
I hope so.
Well, thank you so much, and congratulations on the little one, and I hope they have a wonderful... I mean, April 24th is a pretty cool birthday. It's not quite the 23rd, but it's pretty darn close. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Grant, who else do we have on the phone?
We have Mary Beth with us.
Mary Beth is on the line, and Mary Beth, what are you planning to do for your birthday this year?
I just had a birthday 2 days ago.
Congrats.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I made it through 2020. We went out for steak, but everybody in my party had been vaccinated, and we all wore masks, so I think we were okay.
I have
no idea what I did last year.
It's a little foggy for a lot of people. Was that your first time back at a restaurant, or one of the first times?
First time back at a restaurant.
How did that feel?
Pretty creepy.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. You don't have to answer anything, but how many people were with you?
Three people were with me if it was four.
Did it feel like, were there a lot of people in the restaurant? Like, what was the experience?
There were, my guess is some of them were vaccinated, some of them were not.
Yeah.
But we were back in a corner, so yeah. It was okay for us.
All right, well, you know what? Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm glad.
Happy birthday, Bradley.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad you got to celebrate your birthday in a restaurant. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm hoping I'm not too far behind. Grant, do we have anybody else on the phone that wants to tell us if they're doing things differently?
Yeah, we have Tare, who sounds like she's in a little bit of a windstorm. How are you doing, Tare?
Hi, Bradley. How are you?
Good. Are you celebrating your birthday any differently this year, Tare?
Well, yes, very different. So for the last, 8 years, I go with a family that I used to take care of the boys out on the boat, and we have cocktails, and then we go to Maynard's. And last year... we couldn't do that because there's two families that actually go. So we had it out on a baseball field. Mm. We ordered pizza.
Oh, that sounds
fun.
This year,
we are all going.
So you're like back to normal. We're doing the thing.
Going on the boat.
All right.
Going on the boat.
Well, you
going on the boat 4th of July. Not only in August for my birthday.
Yeah. Well, have fun and enjoy that time on the boat, because I bet it's going to feel amazing.
It's going to feel amazing. It's been a long time coming.
Yes.
And happy birthday if I don't talk to you next week.
Thank you, Tare.
Yes. Set sail for fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to everybody who called and told us what they're doing differently for their birthday. Holly, you've got a while before your birthday, so you could be celebrating something of a typical birthday, perhaps. I don't know what a typical birthday in the Holly Roberts household is, but
it's nothing.
I was going to say, well, it's probably not going to be a big blowout anyway.
I don't really do anything for my birthday because I have a birthday that's the same week as Christmas, and it's during the holidays, and I'm tired, and I just, you know, too many things to do.
It's
but I'll
hard.
Celebrate your
it's
birthday.
Hard. Please do.
I'm
yes, all of you.
Celebrate everybody else's birthday. You get a birthday. And you get
we'll
a
be
birthday.
Holding a special episode of our program next Friday. 3 hours all about me.
Bradley hour.
Not really. That won't happen. But please do join us nonetheless and share gifts. When we come back here on the Colleen. Oh, speaking of sharing gifts, it's Cheat Day Friday, and we have something very exciting to share with you. I have to run out to my trunk and get it during the break, so you better hurry back right here on My Talk 107.1. We need you, dear listeners, to listen to us eating things that we've never eaten before and deciding if, in fact, we like them, or maybe we don't. Because it's now time for a little segment here on the Colleen and Bradley Show we do every Friday. Holly, what do we call this thing?
Cheat Day?
Dirty, rotten cheetah.
Cheat day taste test.
Stick this in your mouth.
All right, Holly, you have in front of you our selection for Cheat Day Friday. I have gifted both you and Grant a sample of what we're going to be tasting today. What is on order for Cheat Day Friday this week?
Well, belly up to the soda bar, because it's they don't call it diet anymore. I forget. It's a rebranding thing.
Yes, yes.
Zero sugar, excuse me. Dr. Pepper, and cream soda.
I know it's hard not to say Diet Dr. Pepper because that's what it normally would be, but yeah, you're right.
I've noticed lately a lot of the rebranding of the diet stuff is zero sugar.
Zero sugar. Mm-hmm. And actually, I can tell you what's in it in a moment, even though you probably don't want to know, but Dr. Pepper and cream soda, zero sugar. Now, I have to confess, you guys, and Holly is showing this little can on video. Maybe this will go up to YouTube. Or not. It doesn't matter.
What matters anyways?
But what does matter
in my mouth.
Is what it tastes like. Now,
that's right.
Truth be told, you guys, this is going to be the first time you've had this, right?
Very first time.
Okay. I may have sampled this already, so I have predetermined thoughts and opinions, and I'm going to keep them to myself until after you guys have had the chance to sample this thing, because I saw this in the grocery aisle, and as a huge lover of Diet Dr. Pepper, I got really excited because I'm also a huge lover of all things cream soda, and I thought this might be, you know, a brand new taste sensation.
Party in your mouth.
The bee's knees.
So I ask the two of you, Grant, let's start with you. Tell us what it's, what's the bouquet of the Dr. Pepper cream soda zero sugar experience?
It's got that full flavored Dr. Pepper smell initially,
yeah,
followed by a nice little creme, you know, just a nice hint of cream,
yeah,
kind of.
Which is weird, right? Because if normally you'd be like, what does cream smell like? But it smells kind of creamy. I don't know. Holly, what do you think?
Same. I mean, it smells like Dr. Pepper. Yeah. You get a whiff of that.
A whiff of pamper.
Yeah. It doesn't smell like regular Dr. Pepper because when there's the sugar added into it, there's a different flavor. You can smell the sweetener in this, which is fine.
Yeah. All right. Holly is taking a little bit of a sip. Now swish it around. Maybe do that thing that wine people do. And, oh, you know, sure. Like aspirate it.
To get the bouquet. Like, what is that?
Now, Holly, before you... Well, first of all, tell me what you're tasting.
Flat, tepid Diet Dr. Pepper.
It was a freshly opened can.
There's no bubbles in it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well...
Okay, so tepid. Now, flavor-wise, what kind of flavor is going on in there? Do you taste any creams?
No, I tasted tepid Dr. Pepper.
Oh, tepid Dr. Pepper. Grant, what do you say?
And that's very little. It's a small hint of cream, which is kind of why I like it, because I'm a big Dr. Pepper fan, especially Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And I've never tried anything outside of it because I've never wanted to ruin.
Yeah, like
you're a purist.
Yes.
I can relate to this, Grant, because I, too, have avoided previous Diet Dr. Pepper creations,
like
mutants.
The cherry one they made.
I don't generally want cherry and pop together. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have avoided that. However, when I saw cream soda, I thought, well, let's give this a shot.
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, it's subtle enough where I really like it. Right. I don't mind it at all.
Can I refamiliarize my palate quickly?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The sensation of Dr. Pepper cream soda zero sugar for cheat day in Bradley Chayner's mouth.
Okay, here's the thing. I really like this, but Holly, you are absolutely right. It is flat.
Yes. Very what flat. Happened to it?
I don't know, because when you pour it, there's bubbles, but it's flat. And this is a brand new container. I mean, I just bought this last week.
Well, here's the question that I suppose I have no answer to, which is why I'm asking it. Generally, cream soda, is it supposed to have the bubbles in it?
Oh.
Like, are you supposed to have that sensation when you drink a regular cream soda? I ask this because I'm not familiar with cream soda. It's not something I would ever go for. So maybe that's it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, you know, that is a very good question, and I don't know the answer, but I will say that you're right. I do like the flavor, though. Like, I told my partner when I first tasted this, I would have a can of this on occasion, but I would not stock my pantry with this particular beverage. Grant, you look like you've come upon some knowledge.
Yeah, I just Googled cream soda carbonation, and it says cream soda is an eye-popping, sweet vanilla-tasting carbonated soft drink. It is not the same as ice cream soda, no, but it has a soft rather than strong fizz to it.
Okay. Oh.
So the cream, like you said there, Holly, changed up the dynamic of it, for sure.
All right. So now, I've given my take on it. Like I said, I would buy this. I just would not... This would be a sometimes beverage. Like, I'm feeling like something special. Holly, what do you say? Let's do the scale of 1 to 5 Cobras, 1 being complete trash... 5 being rub it all over my body.
I'm going to give this a nice 3.5 cobras. I'm going to finish the cup that I have. If someone offered this to me, a diet or a Dr. Pepper cream soda, zero sugar, I would drink the whole thing.
All right.
Not actively going to go and buy it.
All right. 3.5, Grant, what do you say?
I'm
scale
going
of 1 to 5 cobras.
2.9. I can't give it a 3 just because I'm a Dr. Pepper purist. Sorry, yeah, but I can't go outside of that realm. So, but I do enjoy it. So I'm letting it get as close as I can to a 3.
I feel you. I too am going to give this a 3.5 on the Cobra scale. I will put it in my pantry, but it will not, you know, come out unless there's a special occasion.
Well,
so,
cheers to that.
Cheers to
mediocrity. Yay!
Cheers to 3.5 stars. All right. We could all do better than that, right? Maybe not. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, from cheat day to D-bags, find out what celebrities are behaving badly upon our return right here on My Talk 107.1. And I can tell you, it's beautiful out there because I had to run to my trunk to get our cheat day Friday experience for the last segment. And I kind of just wanted to keep on running. But lucky for you guys, I came back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. That is the voice of Holly Roberts, and you've already been acquainted with the voice of Grant, who is pulling the strings behind the scenes. Now, let's get right into another favorite here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. Celebrities behaving badly. Holly, what do we call them?
D-bags.
Presenting Road and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Sometimes
you know, it's hard.
Get emotional about our D-bags.
Well, as you should. Here's one to get emotional about. Oh, and Grant, feel free to get the frequent. Do you know the frequent? Does Grant know how to do a frequent flyer?
Know.
Yeah, I can do that. I think I've got it here. It's the
the airline ding.
There you go. My D-bag today, ladies and gentlemen, is a celebrity, not a celebrity, a horrible person named Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ew. Oh. What is she? Is she still on a fecal strike?
Holly is referring to her inability to flush a toilet in her jail cell while she awaits trial for sex trafficking charges because she was partners in crime, allegedly, supposedly, with one Jeffrey Epstein.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, Holly, this actually doesn't have anything to do with her overflowing prison toilet that we highlighted last week on the show.
What now?
I feel like Grant's like, I really love coming to this show.
Well, I haven't heard this story, so it's just like, whew, right
over. Well, so last week, okay, no, it's good that you don't know, because we're reminded that probably the rest of the audience has no clue either. But there was this story about how Ghislaine Maxwell would not flush her toilet, and she was being reprimanded by prison guards to flush her toilet more regularly. And she came back and said, it's not me. I don't even poop in there because it's out in the open and it's just gross.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just hold it or what?
Well, who knows what private... Everybody's got a private toilet, their secret toilet,
oh,
right?
Yeah. That's a thing.
Especially at work.
Oh, at work. Absolutely.
Can you have a private toilet in jail? Well,
no. No, probably not, to your point. Not. But lest we get bogged down with private toilet talk, I do want to tell you that today we're talking about Ghislaine Maxwell as a D-bag because, well, she wants to delay her trial, you guys.
Oh, yeah. Good luck on that. Good luck on that, Ghislaine.
She's got some stuff she needs to do.
Oh, Ghislaine, tell us. What do you need to do in order to have more time to prepare for your trial?
Thanks for asking. Mm. Well, Ghislaine's lawyers have asked a judge to delay the start of her trial. And it's all because of this new indictment against her. So, you know, they added sex trafficking, or I should say a charge of sex trafficking, a minor, to her case. And I think that the case is supposed to go forward next month or the month after, in a couple months at the very latest. And the reason she would like to delay that through her attorneys is because apparently there are highly confidential photos that she and her team would like to go through. So they're like, yeah, we need to delay the start of this trial because there's some new stuff here and we don't have time to look through all these photos as quickly as you would like us to.
Mm. We wish you the best of luck, Elaine. Now, has the prosecution said anything?
Well, I was going to say, you might be wondering what those photos are.
Oh, sure. What are they?
Well, 2,100 photos, apparently, among hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence that Ghislaine Maxwell, that are part of the charges against her. And this evidence, I guess, was handed over by prosecutors and apparently, quote, must be reviewed as a result of the new charges. So I am not a lawyer, but it sounds like to me they are trying to stall.
Oh, absolutely. Because now this new charge that you just explained was, I think, really critical on the prosecution's part on, you know, moving forward with this Ghislaine trial. Because it essentially those charges are a lot of the same stories that we heard from victims in the Jeffrey Epstein docuseries Filthy Rich. And so those stories going through the criminal justice system in this way is really important.
Yeah. And apparently, so the prosecution is like, we have all this evidence against you. And so her lawyers are like, well, we need to go through it. And they're like, okay, here's a laptop. Go through it. Here are all your photos. And apparently the laptop doesn't work. They said, again, this is Ghislaine Maxwell's lawyers saying, quote, we've tried to use an FBI-supplied laptop and hard drive to review approximately 2,100 highly confidential photographs that were not produced to us in discovery, which was like after the initial charges came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they want to postpone this. But like, what the heck is going to be in these 2,100 photos that's going to prevent you from going forward with the trial?
Right.
Like, also, what are 2,100 photos of what?
Yeah. I don't, beats me.
Like, that's a lot. I mean, just from a curiosity standpoint, I'm like, what's in those photos? Like, what are they, just like party photos of like Ghislaine at like a cocktail party? Or are they like,
yeah, well, could very well be, thinking about the space and time when these photos were taken. Was probably what, like maybe 20 years ago ish. So, taking for granted that we probably have tens of thousands of photos at the ready on our phones at any given time.
Oh, God, can you imagine somebody going, like, you have to go through all the photos in your phone?
Yeah. So, you know, 2,000 photos might not be actually that much or even that important.
Well, especially, let me proffer this thought. What else is she doing? I mean, couldn't she just sit down with a laptop for the next 3 days and get through it? I mean, I feel like I could go through 2,100 photos in about, you know, 2 hours.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to you, ma'am. Mm. And by that, I mean Ghislaine Maxwell. And go flush a toilet. Holly, who's your D-bag today?
My D-bag's just a light D-bag. A sprinkling. No one was really...
No one was trafficked in the telling of this tale?
No, nobody was. I just wanted to bring this up because I know that we've talked about this person in the past and in this segment. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, she's a frequent flyer.
She sure is. But Bradley, she's not talking tuna. She's not even talking turkey. She's talking to Bob Saget.
Oh, well, this could be interesting. First of all, where...
Bob Saget has a podcast.
Of course he does, because he's a comedian and all comedians have a podcast.
That's right. So Bob Saget, the former star of Full House, among other things. So he has a podcast. It's called Here For You. Well, he had Candace Cameron Bure on the podcast. And you guys, it's just really hard for Candace Cameron Bure.
Because
she's such a positive person.
Mm.
And she's so perky, and it's hard when the haters come for you in the comments because she's so perky.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If you're so positive, why are you biatching about people having negative opinions about your podcast?
I believe
that's not how that works.
Believe Bradley, look, this is what we call in the business a clap back. And ask,
I am not a perky positive person.
No. And neither am I.
And I don't pretend to be on the radio.
Well, Bob Saget was talking with Candace Cameron Bure, and he was saying that, you know, you are the opposite of fake because people troll, ugly trolls like us, Bradley Trainer.
Yeah, well, they're talking directly to us.
Ugly.
Grant you too.
Negative trolls like us who have a segment like this.
If she only knew. My God.
So Bob Saget asks, for those people who think that because I'm happy, positive person, I must be fake, would you say that's true or false? And then she was like,
Which is also a weird question to make somebody else answer on your behalf. Right. Like, what are they going to say? No, you are a complete fake and fraud. Right.
And
get
Bob
off
Saget's
my podcast.
Like, no, you're the opposite of fake. And then, you know, he said...
Did he say, but what was his tone, Holly?
I didn't listen.
You're the opposite of fake. No, really.
I'm sure. You know, I didn't check for tone, Bradley. I just read for text. But Bob Saget said, and I'm sorry, you're perky sometimes. What's wrong with being perky? And then Candace Cameron Bure said, thank you.
Oh, God. That's, you guys, I don't know about
Candace
this
Cameron one. Candace Cameron Bure added, I only ask that because sometimes you read the comments and most of them, they roll off my back. But when people are annoyed at me that I'm such a happy person, I was like, let someone speak into this that's known me since I was 9 years old. So Candace Cameron Bure is getting reassurance from her old co-star.
TV dad.
From her TV dad.
That's kind of sad. Also, that just strikes me. That's like the kind of behavior. You know, remember when you guys were in like your job interviews for like Auntie Anne's Pretzels or like your first like office job?
Yeah.
And they were like, tell me about one of your like the opposite of good quality. Like it's been so long since I've been in a corporate environment. What's the like corporate speak for that? Like one of your areas for improvement. Mm-hmm. And then the person goes, well, I'm just too nice. I'm just too positive. You know, some people just don't appreciate how hard it is to be so positive and good. And I get that. I really do. I get that can be a burden for people. You're like, no, that's not, no. We mean, like, do you lie?
Yeah.
Are you going to steal?
Are you going to eat all of those cookies and put them in our mouth? And you're going to say, mmm, when asked, where did the cookies go?
Oh, okay. I'm like, where are we going with the cookies?
You put the cookies in your mouth and you ate them. And then you look at your manager when they ask you where the cookies went.
Yeah.
And you just shrug your shoulders.
She just strikes me as a person who, you know, gives that because that just sounds too cute.
Yeah.
That answer, like, I know, right? It's just hard being good.
I'm just so positive. I suppose it's such a, would myopic be the correct word to view one's humanity? It's because are the haters hating on you for being too happy?
No.
Not necessarily, no. Because Candace Cameron Bure, might I remind you that you make headlines by doing the social media clapback. And People.com was really, really generous, Bradley, to remind us of just that when she talked to them in January about dealing with the haters.
Yeah, so if you're always talking about the haters, again, I'd just like to remind you that many optimistic people, most I would imagine, positive, perky people, don't focus on their haters.
Yeah, and just that they're going to the internet, Bradley. Trolls live on the internet.
Trolls be trolling.
Trolls
if
be
we
trolling.
Google your name and there are more than two People magazine articles about you clapping back, I have no time for you.
Thank you.
But you know what we do have time for?
More show?
No, nothing. I was going to say more of this.
What?
And actually, we also have more D-bags because we're so positive and perky. We need to rail against another celebrity. Yay!
Yes!
So we have a D-bag double down for you when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Today is that day you were holding on for, Friday, the end of the week. And we're celebrating here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. I'm Bradley, that's Holly and Grant. Colleen will be back with us on Monday. We had so many celebrities behaving badly, we decided to do a D-bag double down.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Yes! Oh, shoot. I was playing a sound effect and it didn't work.
Oh, okay. You just got to.
That's my bad.
Turn up your thing and.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Sharon Osbourne, you guys, is still making our eyes roll out of our head.
What is she up to now, Bradley?
Thank you for asking. It's so hard being so positive. Sharon Osbourne apparently she wants you to know, and they're telling. Sources are telling exclusive details to our friends over at Page Six that Sharon Osbourne tuned out the Talks Return episode. Remember that episode we talked about at the beginning of the week where Cheryl Underwood, Elaine Welteroth, Carrie Ann Inaba, and I always forget the fourth lady's name.
I do too.
She's a nice young lady. She's blonde. I don't remember her name. Anyway.
The talk. We talked about the talk at the beginning of the week in the very thoughtful episode and conversation that the talk had after it came back from its hiatus.
Exactly. It was just brilliant. Well, Sharon Osbourne's people are wasting no time just reminding us that Sharon didn't have anything to do with it, and she did not even watch because she doesn't have time for that. And in fact, I want to read you a little bit about what the source said, because I do believe, now look, tabloid stories are usually trash, but they're trash with an intent, and the intent sometimes comes from, you know, the persons being discussed. And I tend to think that somebody who is on Team Sharon is saying things to Page Six. So that, to me, is informative of how Sharon really feels about all this. Whether or not the details, finer points are true, that's for you to decide. But let me just tell you that according to the source, quote, she didn't watch the show. She doesn't care, Holly. Oh. It's really behind her. That's not what her life is all about.
Okay, so Sharon Osbourne, if we're going by your theory, Bradley, that it's Sharon Osbourne and her people talking to Page Six, I don't quite understand what position Sharon Osbourne is taking other than I don't even know.
It's a very high school approach,
oh,
right? Like, it's basically saying, like, I'm just not bothered by
it. I don't even know her.
But what it does, what she doesn't realize is the reason I think this comes from Team Sharon is because Team Sharon clearly, based on her actual actions in that moment during that very controversial episode, and then following that, in, you know, according to news reports and the few things that she actually did say after the fact, like, this is not a woman who owns any part of her role in that experience, right?
But here's the thing, Bradley, about that story in Page Six,
yeah,
saying that she doesn't, well, essentially that she's not bothering paying attention to any of,
yeah,
this. The lie detector test has determined that is a lie.
Well, you and I can smell that lie, but Sharon Osbourne, I don't think she smells that lie. I think she really thinks, I mean, I think she knows truly on some level that she has behaved miserably and horribly and understands why people call her racist and offensive in this particular moment, but maybe she's not willing to, like, say those words out loud. But I think that her behavior and actions basically say, like, I'm Sharon Osbourne. I couldn't possibly do anything wrong. I meant well, right? Like, you can, mm-hmm, just smell that. Like, she didn't watch the show because, you know, that she's going to put that behind her.
Mm. Oh, is she this putting it behind her?
This though? Is not what life is all about.
Is that what life is all about? And I bring that up, Bradley,
mm-hmm,
because conveniently,
I smell you, Holly.
You smell that. You smell that big butt.
I know where you're coming from with that big butt.
Mm-hmm. The butt in this story is that it was announced that Sharon Osbourne is going to be speaking for the first time about all of this stuff happening on the talk.
Oh, and where is that?
Oh, thank you for asking, Bradley, because Sharon Osbourne is going to be on tonight's episode of Real Time with Bill Maher.
So you think it might be, you know, perfect timing to have headlines and tabloids about Sharon Osbourne just as she's about to speak for the very first time officially about her role in what went down? Well, one imagines that's what she's going to talk about anyway.
Well, yeah, because
we ultimately don't know.
Well, Real Time with Bill Maher wasn't like, you know who we need to get for this week's episode? We need to get Sharon Osbourne to talk, yeah, about the puppy memes that she's been sharing on her Twitter account. No.
It'd be kind of awesome if she did that. But,
it would be kind of
but
awesome.
But to your point, that's not happening. No. And also, we know a thing or two about Bill Maher, do we not?
Well, exactly, Bradley. I was going to say, a really fascinating choice of host to sit down and to have a conversation about her behavior on the talk with Bill Maher. Bill Maher being a person, I would say that Bill Maher is a personality that prides himself on being a provocateur of sorts.
Yes.
Of being a person who says it like it is and says things.
A contrarian
that nobody else is going to say. And then so putting those thoughts together, then I'm like, huh. Who else have I described recently in news as being a guy who just tells it like it is and who's a contrarian?
Piers Morgan.
Thank you.
Bing bong. Yeah, like he...
It's the circle of D-bag.
Like she couldn't go on Piers Morgan's show because A, he doesn't have one. And he's the reason. Well, I'm not going to blame him for her problems.
No.
She put her own foot in her own mouth.
Indeed.
But she decided to use, well, it's like she saw Piers Morgan with his foot in his mouth and was like, I got to do that too. And stuck her own beheeled foot into her mouth. To your point, yes, she is going to be appearing on Bill Maher, and yes, Bill Maher is a provocateur and a contrarian, and loves to talk about how he should be entitled to say whatever he wants, despite what other people think. It's a very specific, unique point of view.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not unique, but it's a specific point of view that aligns perfectly with this moment, as Sharon Osbourne would have you believe it all went down.
Right. So I wonder what this conversation is going to be like between Sharon Osbourne and Bill Maher. Naturally, gonna have to check it out tonight or sometime over the weekend, because we're gonna have to have thoughts about this. But it's very telling, the position that Sharon Osbourne takes by specifically going to Bill Maher, because that's a choice. It is a very specific choice to book yourself on Real Time with Bill Maher to talk about this.
And remember, I said this, I really do believe, like, this source talking to Page Six is coming from inside the house of one Sharon Osbourne. And let me just read a little bit for you of what else they say about her going on Sharon Osbourne, or about Sharon Osbourne going on Bill Maher tonight. She plans to, quote, discuss her ideal, or she's scheduled to appear on Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday, where, according to the source, she plans to discuss her ideals. Instead of giving a gossipy play-by-play, she's excited. Bill has gone through the same thing she has, where he was fired for being outspoken. So she's really happy to go on the show with someone she believes will be empathetic. You know what's interesting about that is she's trying to make it sound as though, again, I'm assuming it's her voice, that she's above the fray of gossip and, you know, drama. Like, she's going to talk about her ideals, as if her actions on the talk that led to her leaving the show had anything to do with ideals.
Yeah.
And to sort of talk about it that way, you're like, no, that just means you're not going to talk about the specifics wherein you were a horrible person.
Right. Also, you can't claim to not be a gossip monger when you're specifically planting stories in Page Six, which is one of the biggest gossip mongers on the planet, and you're using gossip as a tool to further your personal agenda on how you want to be perceived by the public.
Remember who was dropping text messages on the regular following this story.
Little screenshots?
Exactly. It was Sharon Osbourne.
Private messages? No, but we would never use gossip to get any kind of point across, would we?
Don't worry. I'm sure we will read the report of her turn on Bill Maher tonight and talk about it on Monday. But when we come back, we've got another question for you. What's your favorite biopic? Holly, we're asking that question when we come back, right?
Yeah, movies about people.
651-641-1071. Well, what is your favorite biopic?